Thanks for coming out. I want to, I'll just open up with, one of the things people will say about me is I'll try to stuff 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. I overcommit. And I definitely did that by accepting to speak today. So I was thinking about it all week and dealing with the kids and new adjustments. And my older kids they leave for high school at 7:05. My younger guy doesn't need to be to elementary school until 8:30. And I had to be at Rising Sun this morning at 7:15. So that means I have to leave my house at 6:45. So I was like, what do I do with the little guy? Do I trust that the high schoolers will wake him up at 7:05 before they leave the school? Absolutely not. I had to go wake that poor guy up at like 6:30 this morning to make sure he was dressed and ready to go. So just some minor adjustments. But I'll start off with an Ashley story. And this is going to be the theme of where I'm going. Is when you're married, you have your relationships, where in some relationships they're really tight, and a husband and wife are friends with another husband and wife, and wife and wife love each other, husband and wife, it's an awesome relationship. Then you have other ones where it's husband and wife, but only the husbands like each other, wife's not so much, or the wife's like each other and husband's not so much, and then the rings keep going further out, and through this whole process. You know the first 2-3 rings pretty good in your family and your relationships. But what I'm learning is all these other rings that Ashley was touching. And so there's this girl that I went to elementary school with, well, high school with, and she happened to work at the one office where Ashley was getting treated. So we ran into each other, rekindled our relationship, talking and being acquaintances. And Ashley's been fighting cancer since 2012. So she had it in 2012, beat it, came back in 2014, beat it, came back in 2016, beat it, came back in 2017, and we know what happened. But you can say she beat it 3 times before we got to the 4th one. But in that course, as you can imagine, we've been to many different hospitals, many different treatment centers. Anyway, we started off with this elementary school friend, high school friend in 12 and 14, and then we went different way and didn't see her. So at the same time, I'm now, so put that aside. So now I'm in Ashley's shoes, right? And another thing I get accused of, and if you've ever driven with me, is I go too fast. So I'm taking the kids to high school in the morning, and I have to pass the elementary school where my youngest guy goes, and I see the crossing guard, and now I'm in Ashley's car. She has an SUV, and I see this crossing guard look at me, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm probably going too fast. I know it's a school zone, but I better slow it down. And I kind of know she's looking at me. So now I come back to the high school friend. I see her at the gym the other night, and she goes on to tell me how that crossing guard's her sister and how she knew of Ashley's passing and how they knew, and they connected that they both knew Ashley, even though we didn't know that, right? So I stopped the other day after I dropped the kids off at high school. I swing back around to see the crossing guard. And I used to say, hey, thanks, for loving Ashley or being in a relationship with her and caring for her. And she tells me, oh, I loved Ashley because she loved me. Ashley would see her for about 5 minutes a day when she was picking my son up from school and dropping him off. And she went on to say how Ashley, at the end of the year, had given her a gift card and just said, Joan, thank you for protecting Jack as he crossed the street. And she didn't use it, but she now is keeping that in her wallet to be as a reminder of Ashley. And that's how deep love can go, is it's a little interaction every day with this person. And what was cool is one of the days when I was going to high school, I'm at the intersection, and it's a busy intersection. People are trying to get to work. There's 3 major ways you can get to work through this one intersection. And I see this little crossing guard lady come out, and she's controlling the traffic. And you imagine, there's cars this way, and this way. And she's kind of looking this way, and all of us people are impatient. And this guy behind her tries to bust a right turn when she's not looking, and she hears it, and she turns around and stops this guy dead in his tracks. And it was cool to watch, and I'm sure Ashley saw that every day. And that's why she was thanking her for being such an awesome crossing guard. She just wasn't doing the job as a crossing. She's doing it because she loved it. So that, remember that theme of love and how far out it traveled. So I'll come back to the theme of today, which is the power of prayer. And how can the guy who prayed and countless people prayed for his wife to live, not live, be talking about the power of prayer. And when Thurlow and Celia asked me to speak, and they said, this is the subject, you can do whatever you want, I was like, no, I'll stick with the subject. And it caused me to wrestle with things a little bit further. And what I would like to propose is the power of prayer is not getting what we look for, not getting what we ask for, not getting the miracle, but the power of prayer is love. That's the out, it's a process, but the output is love. That's the power of prayer. So, and I'll have some verses so you know it's just not me being crazy, making this stuff up. But what I'll propose is prayer's not needed for God. God doesn't need prayer for things to happen. Prayer's needed for us so we can understand who we are before God. God teaches us about himself through prayer. When we're praying with him, it's just like if we communicate with somebody. We're drawing closer to that person. We're drawing closer to God. And then through faith in God, as we grow closer to God, our faith builds. And as we have stronger faith, we see our dependence for God more and how much more God loves us. And once we understand how much we're loved, we can then go and love others because we have been loved first. And the Bible tells us that. We've been loved first by God. And Ashley understood this, and that's what motivated her. To have faith without action is dead, but faith that's driven by action is real. And she understood how much she was loved, and that's why she was loving everybody. And crossing guards are good people to love. But I don't want to make it sound like that's not a normal person to love. They're very good people to love. But here's some verses. Okay. Like I said, I didn't have a good time to prepare, so this PowerPoint got slammed together really fast. And it might be a little bit out of order. But in this verse here, God's teaching us about himself, right? He's basically, I'll give you wisdom for things that you have not known in this verse. This verse here, it ends with have thanksgiving, right? Be thankful. But it ends with God's desires for all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth. But you learn that through praying. Same thing, this is thankful. Don't be anxious, but pray with thanksgiving. So you can be thankful in knowing where you are with God. This one is long, and it's talking about how you should pray. But at the end, it says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So that's why I say, prayer's not needed for us. It's not needed for God. It's needed for us. Because if we don't pray, he's still going to, he knows. And this one is the same thing. Romans 8, it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness and it prays for us. So God's Holy Spirit prays for us. Which that's very comforting to know. And I'll have some other examples to roll through the Bible where we see that and how we've seen that. And then this is where he says at the very end of this scripture here, it says, it's basically a common verse, ask, seek, knock. It basically come to the Lord and he'll give you. But it's what he really gives you is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give you the answers of your prayer. It's what it's alluding to. But he gives you the Holy Spirit, which gives you that discernment, that wisdom. Is this the last one? Yeah. Hit pause. Okay. That was the last one. Told you, it was a little bit out of kilter here. But, yeah. So that's what I'm saying is the process. So often, I think we get confused as people, and we'll say, oh, this was God's plan. Well, God's plan wasn't for Ashley to die. God's plan wasn't to take a mom away from three beautiful kids. God's plan was for Ashley to live. Just like in the Garden of Eden, God's plan was for Adam and Eve to live in the presence of the Lord forever. So when we were going through this journey, we wrestled with hope that, hey, we're going to beat this thing, but we also wrestled with reality. And just to put it in perspective, when Ashley was first diagnosed, she was given a 90% survival rate. Then when it came back, it flipped and she had a 5% survival rate. And to put, when you hear of about a 90% survival rate, you're like, hey, that's pretty good odds, unless you're the 10. And when you're the 10, you're like, that stinks. And to put that in perspective, the casualty rate in the Vietnam War was 1 in 10. So in that war, people were trying to kill each other. And 1 in 10 got a casualty. And that 1 in 10 died. 1 in 10 were wounded or killed. So we kind of think 90% like, oh, that's really good. Well, no, it still really stinks. That's what the poor guys going to Vietnam were dealing with. And everyone recognizes Vietnam was an awful, awful conflict. So we wrestle with that hope and faith. And we also wrestle with free will and destiny, right? There's a lot of paradoxes in life and in the Bible. You wrestle with how does the married couple can't have kids because they're barren, but the young teenage girl gets pregnant. How does the sick person who's fighting for their life can't save it, but someone else has life and they commit suicide? How can God say, I'll answer your prayers, but they're not answered? Right? So there's a lot of paradoxes. How can you have free will and destiny at the same time? So, and I'm not going to answer all that, but what I am going to say is to show you that conflict, that tension that exists. And so God's plan was originally for us to have eternal life. And he gave us free will, and we all screwed it up when we chose to not obey his command. So there's universal curse. Every single one of us has sin in our life. It's universal. There's not one who doesn't have it. But there's also universal blessing, right? The sun rises on everybody, right? That's a blessing. Jesus, you know, John 3:15, I call it the football verse because you always see it this time of year. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that everyone shall be saved. Not some people, not people that believe in God and people that hate God he doesn't care about. He loves us all. And we have that universal that's all in common with us. And God understands the pain that Ashley went through and the pain that we went through because he had to sacrifice his son for our sins. Bear with me. So going back into some biblical examples, and then I'll roll them into some of our personal examples, is you have John the Baptist, and I spoke about this in Ashley's eulogy, so you might be hearing this the second time. The Bible tells us John the Baptist knew who Jesus was in his mother's womb. His mother went to be with Mary, and Jesus was in Mary's womb, and John the Baptist leapt in his womb. And he knew who Jesus was. That's pretty amazing. I never heard of that before. Babies know who other babies are when they're near each other. He baptized Jesus and saw God say, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. So not many people got to do that. And then Jesus himself said, there's not a greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. Yet, at the end of his life, John the Baptist finds himself in prison. And he's like, and the Bible tells us he sends people out to Jesus, his disciples out to Jesus to say, are you who you say you are? So can you imagine the wrestling that guy was going through if he had to ask that question? And then we know he gets his head cut off, and that's the end of his story. And that doesn't make any sense. And if it was God's plan, what's interesting is in the next chapter after John's life comes to an end, it says Jesus withdrew and went away to mourn. So it doesn't say specifically mourn, but went away. So that's, you have to assume that he's mourning. So if it was his plan, why would he mourn? He was upset. He didn't want that to happen. But you have free will, you have sin. And when sin entered the world, not only did we have death, but you got pestilence, you got natural phenomenons, you have cancer, you have polio, you have all these awful things that entered the world when sin entered. Then you have, I spoke about this one as well, and this I'll say is also answered to prayer. So you have Uriah the Hittite, you have David and Goliath, who's of David and Goliath fame, David, and he's known as an awesome warrior, and he has any awesome warrior has other awesome warriors around him, and this guy Uriah the Hittite was one of his chosen warriors. So just like I know my close circle of friends, David knew Uriah's wife, and that was Bathsheba. So Uriah's off fighting. David sees Bathsheba, gets a little whatever happens, has a relationship with her. He shouldn't do it. He recognizes that, and he calls Uriah back from fighting. And he tries to get Uriah to go be with his wife. And Uriah says, absolutely not. My men are fighting. How can I go be with my wife? Then he tries to get him drunk to go be with his wife. And he still refuses because he was a noble man. So then David gives up and sends him back to the battlefield with commands for the battle, for the commander, to say, put Uriah in the front lines, engage the enemy, and withdraw and leave him up there to get killed. And Uriah could have been like, let me take a sneak peek at this and see what it says. But he doesn't because he was a noble man, and he gets killed. And you have David, who was a guy that God loved, killing a noble man. How can you reconcile any of this? It doesn't make any sense. And I'm not going to reconcile it. But what's interesting is God gives David Nathan, who's a prophet, who comes to him and says, hey, there's a rich guy who has tons of sheep and tons of belongings. It's great. Then there's this poor guy who has next to nothing. And he goes and takes his one sheep and makes it his own. David gets mad and goes, who's that rich guy? Let's go kill him. And Nathan says, that's you. You're the king. You have everything. And you're taking that guy's wife. And so when I talk about those verses in prayer and learning about God, God uses people to teach you about himself. Now, Nathan was a prophet. There's not prophets today, but you have your Bible. You have your close friends. You have people that know that they can speak truth into your life. That's very important. And that's part of the power of prayer. So with that, it's going to be a little risky here. God, and we talked about universal blessing, and God loves everybody. And that song that was up earlier today would be deemed a Christian song because it had Christian words in it. My kids listen to all kinds of music, mostly all of it secular. And I listen to it with them, and I would always challenge them, guys, listen to what this guy is saying, this artist is saying, so you can understand it. And this song came on the radio this summer. I heard it a lot, and I started listening to it. And God gave me the song to remind me of where I am right now. I'll play the song because she can sing it a lot better than I can sing it. And the lyrics are up there so you can read it. And the artist is Kesha with that guy Macklemore. You might know him, Kesha Macklemore. So read the lyrics. They're what's key. That's why I said it was risky. So in 2014, when the cancer came back, Ashley and I saw that as an answer to prayer from 2012 that Ashley wasn't going to be healed. Because cancer doesn't come back if it's going to be healed. So we were wrestling. And as you can imagine, when you're wrestling with that, there's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of anger. Why? All that stuff, you go through it. And this summer, Ash's health started to really decline. So it could lead to frustration. But that song God gave me to remind me that she's here today. She might not be here tomorrow. So enjoy this time today. I knew it was going to happen. Sorry. But it's a reminder to all of us, whatever we're going through, today's the good old days. Don't worry about the past. Don't look too forward to the front. And my daughter would always say to me, they didn't know what was going on. And she's like, Dad, why do you listen to this song? It's so sad. And I say, you're right. And I wouldn't tell her why I would listen to it. But it was speaking truth to me that even though Ash is sick as a dog right now, even though this is miserable, she's still with me. And enjoy that time. And that's what I call, another power of prayer, of how God speaks to you. Because he created Kesha. He gave her that awesome voice. He created Macklemore. He gave him those words to write. And it speaks truth, right? So in the Bible, we also see, there's always, hey, we got to pray and get this answer. Well, in the Bible, it says Jesus rose three people from the dead. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and the widow of Nain, her son. So it says Jesus walked into this town of Nain. There was a widow, and she was burying her son. He was dead. And no one was praying, hey, go save that guy. It says Jesus had compassion on her and felt sympathy and went and raised him from the dead. So when Ashley has a 90% survival rate and then she flips to a 5% survival rate, we're essentially praying for a miracle. We didn't get the answer we're looking for. But like the scripture tells us that Spirit intercedes on our behalf. No one was praying a miracle. To go say, hey, God, this guy's dead, raise him from the dead, that's impossible. He went and did it without anyone asking because he felt compassion. And that again, if you say, was it part of his plan or not? I would say it wasn't, right? He didn't want that widow. He didn't want that lady to be widowed, and he didn't want her son to die. He had compassion and went and raised it. So do we understand why sometimes he has compassion and why other? No, we don't. Not going to try to address that. Just wanted to show how the Bible gives us insights to who God is. So now I'll come back to Ash and I, and specifically me. When Ashley passed, I told the kids, I said, hey, look, we can either be sad, which is normal, we should be sad, but we also need to be thankful because God is here somewhere and we got to look for him. So the night that she passed, I was obviously very upset, and I went and walked our neighborhood where her and I would walk, and I prayed to God. I said, God, I don't see you. I'm either so mad that I can't see you, or you're not here. I don't know which it is. And I don't know if you guys have ever been that mad before, but when you're really, really, really mad, you don't see straight, right? There's a reason why people say that. So I said, God, you have to either take my anger away, or you have to show yourself, because I don't see you. Thankfully, God took my anger away. And I was able to see God and how he was there through this whole ordeal, right? And I would tell Ash, I was like, I don't like to compare myself to the lowest common denominator and say, oh, it's good. But like these verses said, it's better to be thankful and recognize who we are in position of God. God's still God, and I'm still a sinner that needs him. God loves me regardless of my circumstances. So where we saw God is when Ashley had Jack, our 10-year-old, she had a pulmonary embolism, and those things can be fatal. But she lived past that. So she got to see her son. Jack got to know his mom for 10 years. If not, you know, the kids wouldn't have known them. She lived the entire summer, and she was with the kids down the shore almost the entire summer. So they got one last summer with their mom. And then when she passed, and this is going to sound awful, but it's beautiful at the same time. She was sitting on a sectional couch, and we had friends come to visit. And the close friends were, we liked husbands and wives liked each other. So the husband was sitting at her feet and the wife was sitting next to Ashley. And she wanted to say something and the wife didn't understand. So she got up and said, Dave, can you understand what she's saying? And by this time, cancer had gone everywhere. Her lungs were collapsed. She could barely speak because she didn't have any volume in her lungs. Cancer was in her bones. She was in a lot of pain. She was on a lot of drugs. So I went in and put my arms around her and so I could put my ear to her mouth so I could hear what she was saying. And then she kind of went weak. So I recognized, oh man, this might be happening. So I went to go get her some medicine to try to get her to come back, and she didn't. So then I was able to hold her in my arms as she passed. And that's a beautiful thing. And Ash, I said this before, but when you're going through cancer has a way of stealing things from you. And Ashley was a huge romantic, and we forgot about that, or at least I did, because when you're fighting cancer, you don't care about romance. And she left me a letter to be found after her passing, and I found it. I was like, that reminded me of who Ash was. Cancer didn't define her. She still kept living her life. And then when I got to hold her as she passed, and the kids went around, nobody was just her and I. That couple, they were smart, and they left. And they went. Our kids were in other parts of the house to make sure they didn't walk in. That was romantic. Ash would have loved that. It was a beautiful thing. And at first, I was probably angry about it, but God took my anger away so I could see the beauty of that. So I will end. Oh, so I'll end with this. I'm coming to a close. we had tremendous outpouring and love from everybody here, and thank you for that. And the same thing, we had a tremendous amount of people come to the service, to the receiving lines, and literally probably in the thousands. And that was because Ashley loved so well. People wanted to come back and show their love for her. So everyone knows, and I shared this before, I'm going to share it again. It didn't make the PowerPoint somehow, sorry. The Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 13, which is the famous love verse that everyone knows. Everyone quotes that when they get married. But it says, I'll hit the bookends. It says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong of clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then at the end it says, then it goes into attributes of what love is. Love is selfless, love, kind, all that. And then it ends with, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So that's what I'm saying, the process of prayer builds our faith, it builds our hope, but it should compel us outward to love, because we should recognize how much we were loved, be thankful, and then compel us outward. So that's what I'm going to say is the power of prayer is love. So thank you all for joining us today.